Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1508. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Time Under Tension Manipulation. So we had a listener send in a question. I absolutely love these kind of questions because you can get super nerdy and talk about all the what-ifs and the different scenarios and stuff. So this one will be fun for me. Hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. So let's read through their question and let's get going. They say, I have a quick scenario that I'd like your input on. Does time under tension have to be within the same set or can it be cumulative? Now, before I go on and read the rest of the question, if you don't know what we're talking about, time under tension and stuff like that, there is a basic podcast I would like you to listen to. And my computer's frozen at the moment, so let me sort that out. But there's you can find all of the podcasts on our website at www.brutalirongym.com. We have the latest, like, 100 podcasts, I think, are in the player that's embedded on our homepage. And then we also have instructions on how to find older podcasts. Now, the podcast that I want you to reference is one that's based on rep ranges. So it explains the difference in rep ranges and the expectations of what result you would get from them. Thank you for a computer. It finally unfroze. We have podcast 214. So that's why I mentioned about finding old podcasts, because that's one a long time ago. That was back in 2019. So podcast 214 is titled Understanding Rep Ranges and Expected Results. And then we also do have a little bit of a more recent program, a podcast 982, which is a training podcast titled Why Programs Should Have Rep and Percentage Ranges and How to Use Them. And in that podcast, I do a real quick, brief overview of the different rep ranges. So rep ranges, like how long it takes you to perform a certain rep. So rep range. So say you're going for 8 to 12 reps. How long does that take? That would be the time under tension. So if 8 to 12 reps, let's just say that it takes me, you know, 15 to 25 seconds. The 15 to 25 seconds is the time under tension, the time that I'm under the tension of the weight for that duration of the set. Very quick, and there's way more nuances to this, so please check out the podcast I listen to. But roughly about 0 to 10 seconds of time under tension is more so displaying of strength. You would have to do a lot of sets to get to like strength growth, but it is it's more so displaying of strength. Then 10 to 20 seconds is more so the meat and bread and butter of building strength. 20 to 40 seconds is kind of building muscle tissue. Then anything over 40, you're going to get more into muscular endurance and cardiovascular endurance. Now that is all like a blended kind of like spectrum. So at like 8 seconds, you're getting good strength display of strength, plus a little bit of like strength building for sure. You know, from at 10 seconds into 11 seconds, does it automatically switch from one to the other? No, it's just, again, kind of like a blended range. So if I do something for, say, 19 seconds, and I do one extra rep and it crosses over and it takes 21 seconds, you know, have I switched from building strength only to building muscle? No. It's, again, just like a blended thing. So the idea of me giving time under tension ranges is just for general understanding, and so that way you're not doing a set that takes 40 seconds thinking you're building strength. So you can use those ranges as like a general reference point. The rest of the question now is the person's going to refer to these kind of like time under tension ranges. So he says, in my scenario, let's just say that each rep takes 2 seconds to perform the eccentric and concentric. So 2 seconds per repetition. A set of 10 reps would take 20 seconds. 3 sets of 10 reps would take a total of 60 seconds. Now, yes, so 10 reps would take 20 seconds. 3 sets of 10 would be 60 seconds. Makes sense. Now, let's do, this is what he says, now let's do 10 sets of 3 reps with the same rep tempo. Again, each rep still taking 2 seconds to perform. That would be still 60 seconds of time under tension, but with a much greater weight. Wouldn't the heavier weight cause more muscle damage, give greater strength and hypertrophy? So what he's saying is the common belief that 20 to 40 seconds is good for for muscle growth. He's saying that, okay, if I did a set of 10 reps and it took 20 seconds, that's good for muscle growth. And normally we would do 3 sets of 10 reps. That's like a pretty normal set count per exercise. So he's saying, okay, I have 20 seconds per set. I have 60 total seconds in that workload scenario. Now, for 3 sets of 10 reps, I cannot use as much weight as I would for a set of 3 reps. So he's saying, okay, if instead of doing 3 sets of 10 reps at, say, 50 pounds, can I do 10 sets of 3 reps at 100 pounds? So since I'm only doing 3 reps per set, I can use heavier weight. And since I'm doing a lot of sets, I'm going to end up equaling the same time under tension, but I'll be able to use a much greater weight. So I'd be able to use the 100 pounds for the total of the 60 seconds rather than 50 pounds for the total of the 60 seconds. And wouldn't that then allow me to cause more muscle damage and give greater strength and greater hypertrophy? In that kind of scenario, you're looking at it and you would think yes. Now, to some degree, the answer is yes. To some degree, the answer is no. I want to talk through all of it, and this is all like an educated opinion, but it's still an opinion. People do it building strength, building muscle in a million different ways. I do it a million different ways for all my different clients. So let's just go through kind of what my thoughts are in relation to this kind of scenario. The first thing that comes to mind is that not all time under tension is equal. Typically, if somebody's doing 10 sets of 3 reps, the way in the scenario he said is that the same rep speed is used, 2 seconds per rep. The downside of this is let's just go through a couple things. So not all time under tension is equal. If I use muscle control through the whole range of motion versus momentum, where I'm actually kind of being explosive and kind of like pow, 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 and you're moving it like quick. Now, I know that in a scenario he has his times matched, so I'm not talking about the scenario for a second, stepping outside of that, is if I move with momentum, I achieve much less muscle damage than if I move with muscular control. I'm still going to achieve some muscular damage, sure. Where that happens is at the full stretch point of the muscles. So the stretch reflex point. So if we're doing, say, a chest press, dumbbell chest press, as I drop to the bottom, I'm not creating a lot of damage because I'm not really controlling that eccentric very much. As I start to try to slow the weight down, my chest gets to full stretch and then it snaps back to a contraction. I'm going to get muscle damage at that kind of full extension transition. But I'm not going to get a lot of damage in the middle of the range of motion. I'm not going to get muscle damage at the top, anywhere in the middle on the way up or the way down. It's mostly just going to be damage at that full extension point. Now, if I don't move with momentum, and I move like a bodybuilder would move, I'm slow and controlled, I get muscle damage throughout the whole damn range. Like, it's going to be miserable everywhere. And you're going to accumulate a lot more damage. So if I spent, say, 30 seconds being explosive versus 30 seconds being controlled, I'm going to create a lot more muscle damage doing the controlled movement than I am with the explosive movement. Now, that is in its own entity a concept to consider. So time under tension with momentum is not equal to time under tension without momentum. You would need more cumulative time under tension if you're using momentum to get the same amount of muscular damage that's produced from non-momentum time under tension. And where you're getting the damage is different. Like we said, it's at the end of the fibers, not really throughout the fibers. This is typically why explosive lifters, you can think of powerlifters, get bulky, but they don't have that same kind of full rounded muscle bellies and the separation of all the muscles that bodybuilders have. Part of that is due to body fat percentage difference, but also my super lean shredded powerlifters don't have the same full rounded belly muscles as my super lean shredded bodybuilders do, males and females. And it's due to the different style of training. Now, there are exceptions here and there, genetics and blah, 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 blah. But areas such as like the middle of the chest or your side of your shoulders, like the middle deltoids, the lateral, like the outside edge of the shoulders, they tend to only grow in explosive lifters if they specifically target those areas with accessory movements. But if they just do squat, bench, deadlift, and they do it with explosive style lifting, they tend not to have a very well-developed middle chest or well-developed shoulders. They would have to get into doing some overhead presses, doing some dumbbell flies, doing more bodybuilder-type movements to get more of a bodybuilder-type build, type look. So that's why, and there's other aspects as well, but if you look at, for example, West Side Barbell athletes, back when Louis Simmons was kind of like running everything and in their heyday, a lot of them, those powerlifters, looked like freaking bodybuilders too. So they were massive. They had big, full, round chest muscles, and they were just massive and strong and built everywhere. Now, if you look into Louis' training, he would even tell you, and I've listened to interviews and everything, is about 80% of their training was moderate weight for higher rep ranges. Only about 20% of their training was heavy triples, doubles, and singles. The rest of the training, they would do sets of, you know, 8, 10, 12, even up to 20. Sometimes they would do banded exercises to like 50 to 100 reps to work on tendon strength and blood flow to the joints. But 80% of their training was not very heavy, low rep work. 80% of their training was actually moderate weight for higher reps, aka like the 3 sets of 10 reps. Now, the other thing to consider is that there's a diminishing strength that would have to happen over the course of 10 sets of 3 reps. For you to use the same weight throughout all 10 sets, you would have had to sandbag the first couple sets, and they would not actually be stimulating enough to cause muscle damage or even strength benefit. If you started with your maximal weight for a maximal effort set of 3, say you even did 1 reps in reserve, like so you didn't go truly to good form failure, but you were 1 rep in reserve. As you did sets 1, 2, 3, all of a sudden, there's no way by set 4, 5, 6 that you're going to get 3 reps with that same weight. And you're probably not even going to get all 10 reps, even if you drop down to singles. Your strength will drop off to the point where you cannot complete all 10 reps, all 10 sets with the exact same weight. So you can't do 10 sets of the 3 at the same weight unless you sandbag the first sets, which mean they don't contribute to growth or strength. Or if you start heavy, there's no way in hell you're getting through all 10. So you would have to reduce weight along the way. So let's say, for example, you're doing bench press and you start with 405 for a set of 3. And you can do 405 for a set of 3 for the first 1, 2, 3 sets. Then by the third set, the lockout on the last rep was like, oh dear God, I don't think I'm going to get that. I've barely got it. So you think, okay, for set 4, I might have to drop down a little bit in weight. Maybe you drop to 385. You get a set of 3, a little bit of a grinder, but you can squeak out set number 5 at 385 as well. But now the triceps are dying. You know, you can definitely feel everything's kind of dropping off. So you have to go, okay, well, I still need 5 more sets. Crap. Let me drop some more weight. So maybe you drop to 365 pounds. You can get 2 more sets of 3. Maybe by then everything's dead. You drop to 345 for a set of 3. Everything's still dead. Maybe on the 9th and 10th set, you drop to 325. This is more, like, realistic as to what would happen if you did all 10 sets at an effort that was significant enough to contribute towards both strength and growth. Again, if you wanted to use the same weight for all 10 sets, you'd have to sandbag the first sets and they wouldn't count. They'd be like warm-ups. They wouldn't actually be stimulating enough. So if you want to have maximal stimulus of all 10 sets, so that way the time under tension of each 10 sets counts, then this is what you would see, is a drop off as you go through the 10 to 10 sets. So the total volume, I added it all up in this example, would be 10,968 pounds. So you have that much poundage moved in your 10 sets of 3, so 30 repetitions. So 30 repetitions will get you 10,968 pounds. Now, let's say that you did 315 for 3 sets of 10 reps. And that's very doable if you can do 405 for three, you can probably do 315 for three sets of 10. The total volume of that would only be 9,450 pounds. That's 85%. So the three sets of 10, you'd get roughly 85% of the total volume that you would get from 10 sets of three. But you can do them with more control, which means you have greater muscle damage through the entirety of the range of motion, and you can get more kind of development, full development of the muscle fibers. So even though it's 85% less, 85%, it's 15% less than the 10 by 3, you're going to get much greater quality of muscle damage. So in this scenario, assuming we adjust the weight of each of the low rep sets to ensure appropriate difficulty, then yes, you'll create more overall volume, but it would be arguable as to whether it was a better volume specific for muscular growth. Since the 3x10 would create more muscle damage due to the control than the 10 sets of 3. The other thing to consider is, what about the recovery difference? Recovering from 10 sets of 3 takes a long freaking time. If you maxed out all 10 sets, good God, you will not be able to bench press for a while. It's going to take 5 to 7 days. You're probably only going to get to bench once a week at anything meaningful. You know, maybe you'll bench a second time in the week just for technique work, but you're going to need 5 to 7 days to recover from that. Whereas recovering from 10 sets of 3 reps might take 2 days. Most bodybuilding workouts have multiple exercises for 10 sets of 3 reps, not just a single exercise. So you can recover within 2 days. So the 3 sets of 10 reps, you could easily do that twice a week. So the weekly volume would be the 9,450 times 2. So you would have per week 18,900 pounds moved versus the 10 sets of 3 reps you can only do once a week because of the recovery rate. You only get 10,968. So the 3x10, if you look at it as a weekly structure and the frequency in which you can lift, it's a much greater growth stimulus. But is it as good of a strength stimulus? No, absolutely not. So the lower weight percentage of the one rep max would be less nervous system strength response. So you won't get as strong. Hopefully this is all making sense so far. I'm not sure. But 10 sets of 3 reps is great for strength, and you'll get some growth for sure. But 3 sets of 10 reps is better for growth, but you'll get less strength. So it kind of depends on what you want. You can do either or something in the middle. So most of my clients who want to get stronger and bigger, we do a combination of everything. For the main exercise of the day, we do roughly 3 to 5 sets of 3 to 5 reps. So maybe they do 5 sets of 3 reps, 4 sets of 4, or 3 sets of 5. Some kind of combination of that, where we're using a heavier weight load, so it's a higher percentage of their one rep max. So we get a nervous system response based on strength. The other exercises, we might do 2 or 3 working sets, and anywhere from, say, 10 to 40 seconds of time under tension. And it's a blending of all of that depending on each individual's needs. So weaker lifters, you need to lift heavier into your accessory exercises. So you might do time under tension of just 10 to 20 seconds. So that way you can use heavier weights to accumulate more muscle damage and get the nervous system response for strength since you're a weaker lifter. However, stronger lifters, if they do that same thing, they would destroy their joints and they'd be dead tired and worn out. So they have to do less total volume in lower time under tension ranges, or they have to adjust their weight load amount to the higher time under tension range, say 40 seconds, to lessen joint stress. There are a lot of factors that would come into play of whether 10 sets of 3 or 3 sets of 10 is best. So the best idea is to do a little bit of both. But if you want more strength, do the heavier stuff a little bit more. But if you want more growth, do the moderately weighted stuff a little bit more. So can 10 sets of 3 reps be as good as 3 sets of 10 reps? The answer is kind of yes and kind of no. They're not equal because they produce slightly different results. In a single workout view, then yes, they're equal because they're comparable in total volume. But that's not really, that gets kind of blown out of the water when you look at it as a weekly structure, because the 10 sets of 3 reps, you can do multiple exercises of that, and you can do it multiple times a week. You're going to create significantly more overall volume. But if you only work out 2 or 3 times a week, then recovery rate isn't a concern of yours, so the 10 sets of 3 reps might be a better choice, because you need to have longer time to recover since you only train 2 or 3 times a week. But if you want greater growth and you can train 4 or more times a week, then no, 10 sets of 3 would not be a good idea, because you're not going to be able to recover enough to maximize the volume potential that you have in your schedule. So the 3 sets of 10 reps would be a much better choice, because you can recover faster between workouts and it has less overall joint stress. So it really kind of comes down to how often the individual can work, how strong the individual is, and then do they want to push more for strength with some growth or more for growth with some strength. So are they equal? My answer is no. They do slightly different things. Are they similar? Hell yeah, they're similar, but they're not the same. And 10 sets of 3 is not optimal. It's not better than 3 sets of 10 if you want to get somewhat stronger, but your main concern is growth. If you do want strength as your main concern, strength is your main goal, and you would like some size, then yeah, 10 by 3 is great, and you can't do it too often, and you have to be careful in your other workouts. So if you only train 2 to 3 times a week and your maximal, your number one goal is strength, then 10 sets of 3 is awesome and it's the best technique. If you can train more than 2 to 3 times a week and you really want growth blended as much as you want strength, then no, it is not a good choice. Now, I wanted to share a couple of my favorite kind of ways of manipulating time under tension for strength and growth. There's 3 ways that I used in the last kind of couple months that I thought would be fun to share. One is deadlift singles, 10 sets of 1 rep at 75 to 85% of your 1 rep max with about 1 minute to 2 minutes rest in between. I try to stay to 1 minute. So I do a single repetition somewhere between 75 to 85% of my 1 rep max. And in our gym, we have our deadlift platforms on one side of the gym, and then there's like a little bit of a walkway to the dumbbell area, then a walkway back. So I do my single, I walk slowly to the dumbbells, I walk slowly back to the platform, I do my single, walk slowly to the dumbbells, walk slowly back to the platform, and it might be about 40 seconds, maybe, between the repetitions. And I see if I can do all 10 with decent technique and not killing myself. If I can, I add weight. But that gets strength development, because you have the physical effort of picking up an 85%, you know, roughly 75 to 85% in 1 rep max for 10 single repetitions. So you're going to get some physical damage for sure. You get tons of technique work, and it's really good mental development, because you're going to be super fatigued by the end. Can you still be disciplined enough to stay in proper position and not just yank on the bar? It's good for overall growth development, especially if you follow it by just 1 or 2 accessories. So I might do that technique and then do lying hamstring curls and cable seated rows and then head out of the gym. And that's an amazing full deadlift workout. It's also really good for endurance, because you get ridiculously stupidly out of breath and it makes you feel like you're fat and lazy because you're dying from this. But that's one of my favorite techniques, and that's 10 sets of 1 rep. So it's kind of a weird kind of manipulation of the time under tension range. Another thing I like to do is a trailing superset, where I'll warm up and kind of get to a bench press weight of around 80 to 85% of my 1 rep max. I then do it for a single rep in between every other set of every other exercise I do. So I might do this during a back workout. So I'll warm up my bench press, and then I'll do back rows. Maybe I do a heavy variation of a back row for 3 sets. Well, between each of those 3 sets, I'll do a single of the bench press. Maybe I move on to pull downs, and between each of the 3 sets of pull downs, I do a set of the bench press. Maybe then I can go to shrugs, and between each set of the shrugs, I do another, you know, set of the bench press. So I might have 10 to 15 single repetitions of 80 to 85% of my 1 rep max and bench press while I'm doing my entire back workout. That's a really fun way if I'm trying to cram some stuff, or I missed a bench workout, or I missed something and I'm trying to shorten up my week and, you know, kind of fit it all in. Another thing I do is descending weight on squats. So I'll use an example here. If somebody has a 405-pound one rep max, I'll do 90% for two sets of two reps. And I'll take whatever rest I need in between the sets to feel, you know, strongest. And that would be roughly, say, 365 pounds if you have a 405 max. So that's 90% for two sets of two. I then reduce weight to 85% for two sets of three reps, which would be like dropping to 345. Then I do 80% for two sets of four reps, which would be like doing 325. So it's 90% for two sets of two, 85% for two sets of three, 80% for two sets of four. And that's kind of fun because you get a ridiculous amount of volume, and you're going to be worn out, and you're going to get really good growth out of that. But yet there are strength-based time and attention per set ranges. So it's kind of a fun blend. So I like doing those kind of blends myself. So the summary of this is, would 10 sets of three be better than three sets of 10? Not necessarily. Depends on the person, depends on the training frequency. There's a lot of kind of depends in there. So is it greater for strength? Yes. Is it greater for hypertrophy? No. Because again, if you look at external of just, if you look outside of a singular workout, the three sets of 10, you can do way more volume throughout an entire week than you could have 10 sets of three. So my answer is to try a little bit of everything. Now, I'm going to plug something because it does answer this and it does help. We have our powerlifting template, which we now sell on our website. You can go to www.berlarengym.com. On there, they have the training templates kind of page. You can go to that page, and then it explains kind of what our training templates are. But our powerlifting template is over 50 pages, and it teaches you how to structure your workouts exactly for this goal, where you're trying to blend strength and size. When you're in like kind of the off season, maybe you can focus more on size and while still building a little bit of strength. And then as you get closer to powerlifting meet, you would focus more on strength than on the building part. You try to peak your strength. That template would teach you how to do that. It'll teach you how to manipulate that, move it all around depending on what season of life you're in. And you can learn more about that template on podcast 1504. It's titled Training Template Explanation Powerlifting. So if you want to learn how to train with a structure that is proven to work, I've taken people from their first meet ever to an elite total in powerlifting, which only like 1% of competitive powerlifters actually achieve. I've done that multiple times with multiple people. And that template will teach you how to blend both strength and size depending on what season of life you want and whatever area you focus you want to push harder into. So go check that out if you are interested in this style of training. If you have any questions, shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Thank you to the listener who sent this question in. I love this kind of stuff. Hopefully it was fun just to kind of bounce the ideas around. Hopefully I gave you something useful to try to play with. Play with those techniques that I explained at the end. Give them a try, and hopefully you'll enjoy kind of playing around with that weird stuff as much as I do. Well, thank you for listening. If you like today's podcast, please share it. You can share it on social media. That reaches the most people. But even if you just share it in a conversation with somebody, let them know that the podcast exists and we will answer any nutrition and training questions for free. So if you hear anybody talking about a diet or anything about training, just let them know about us and I'll answer the question for free. Thank you to the people who financially support the podcast with donations. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day, and we're going to keep it for free. So thank you to those who donate. You can do that on our website. You can also submit a topic request on our website. You can just go to www.brutalirongym.com and do either one of those. If you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. I try to post on Instagram very often with content that's different than what you hear on the podcast. And I'm working on posting more and more and more on our YouTube channel. I'm going to be posting some educational videos where you can see a video of a workout with a voiceover kind of explaining everything about the workout. So we'll be producing more and more of those in the upcoming weeks and months. Cool. Well, if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.